see all of you. We certainly appreciate your coming. I always great to see people who are rich enough to stay alive. I remember many, many years ago when we used to travel the country in campaigns. We went up into Canada and went out and knocked doors, and I run into two or three people who were atheists. And I was a young person, somewhat frightened. I couldn't sit at atheists in anybody. Because I found out in studying with them that the Bible is certainly true. The fool has said in his heart, where he is going to go. A person is a fool, the Bible says.
You can't get something from nothing. Never have and never will. The seed produces after its kind. It doesn't evolve. Always has and always will. And I'd like to go on and on. And I found out that they have nothing to stand for. If you want to put an atheist to running, just tell him, give me a better book that explains mankind, where he came from and where he's going, to the Bible. Bring me one. I don't want you just tacking the Bible. Give me something better. Give me something better, and we'll discuss it. Have you tried to read the Book of Mormon? Now, I am not. This is not a political speech, and I'm getting off to. But I hope you won't let this bother you if you vote for Romney. But if Romney believes that Joseph Smith went out and dug up some plates and looked into a crystal ball and translated the Book of Mormon, and that's what he seeks as true from above, he ain't all screwed together, right, and nobody else is. And I say that kindly. And I don't mean anything. He might make a good president, but his thinking has got some problems with it. And anybody believes that something, you know, when you find out and you go through life and you think you know a lot, the older you get, the more you realize you don't know. More you realize it. And I'd be willing, and if you got any professors that you're in college, I'd be glad to meet with them. I know that they'll think I'm ignoramus, but I don't know that, but I know also that they don't have a foot to stand on. Now, if you can challenge them to bring you a better explanation, can you imagine, I better not get into all the theories about this, so I won't go into that any further. But it ties in with the lesson tonight. Romans 15 and verse 4. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. God said, I wrote the Old Testament for your learning. You want to know. Now, God didn't write the Old Testament, prove there is a God. He didn't try to. Man proves there is a God. I hope you don't believe that you're a second cousin to a monkey. Sometimes I wonder, and I think sometimes there's some indication, but I hope you don't believe that. I don't hope you don't believe that you came from an amoeba or a paramecium or some one-celled animal that sprung up. I hope you don't believe that. And so when you think, what the things written aforetime were for our learning? First of all, that you could know where you came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. And he told man to keep the garden, dress the garden, and to keep it. And he looked about, and he didn't find a help sufficient to man, and so he took a rib out of man, and he created a woman. And he brought her to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And the Bible says that they were both were naked and unashamed, because at that time there was no sin. And the Bible says the first thing that God wanted man to learn was that he had a choice. It's his free moral choice. You are still, and it's wonderful being in a land where you can choose and have a choice. You've got a choice where you live. A lot of places in this world you don't have. You've got a choice what job you do. In fact, you may have a little trouble choosing what job you do and finding it now, but you've got it. That's not true in lower. You've got a choice of what you believe. You've got a choice of how you worship. You've got a choice of so many, many things in this country. And God believes in giving a man choice. The Bible says, with the first lesson that God wanted us to learn was from Genesis 2, 16 and 17, I think, for man to learn. The Bible says, and unto Adam he said, I don't want to read that one first. I want to read 2. I got the wrong reference there. And I want to read verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt surely die. And a lot of people say, well, Adam ate of the fruit, and he didn't die the day he ate of it. He most certainly did. They don't understand what death is. Death is separation. It's not the end of anything. It's separation. That's what the Greek word means. That's what the Hebrew word means. Thanatosis. Death is separation. Death is separation. And when you're separated from God, who's life, you're dead. You don't realize it, but you're dead. You're spiritually dead. And that's exactly it. The Bible drove him out when he sinned, and he was separated from God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so the soul does die when separated from God. Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and he has hid his face from you. And then the Bible says in chapter 3 and in verse 6 of Genesis, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant unto the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And did eat, and gave her also to her husband with her, and she did eat. The Bible teaches that the sin came from man wanting to be wise as God. It still does. It still does. And so that choice went on through. Well, you had time to explain all of it in the Old Testament. But I want to turn to Joshua 24, after they'd conquered all the land of Palestine, land of Canaan. And Joshua is ready to die. And he calls the people in. And Joshua, by the way, knew Moses, knew him well. He knew the children of Israel well. He knew Egypt and its greatness, and it was a great power. And he knew what freedom was. And the Bible says, verse 14, this is his final lesson. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Lesson one you need to learn. You're going to have to fear somebody. You fear God, and that takes care of all the rest of your fears. The wise man, the most wise man that ever lived, Solomon, wrote that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ask Daniel Webster, the greatest statesman I think the United States ever produced. You probably won't agree with that because of some of his beliefs. But what was the greatest thought that he had ever had? And he said the greatest thought he ever had is that this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Now, the word duty is in the King James. It's not in the Hebrew. This is it. It's not about it. This is it. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. And that's exactly what it was. In sincerity and truth, put away the gods of your fathers, which your fathers had served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt. And I'm sure he remembered that when he said that. And serve ye the Lord. And if it's evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now some people read that and totally misunderstand. When man makes up his mind to do anything, he chooses this day. And if it is a thing of importance and meaningfulness, he chooses it each hour. And he chooses it the next day and each hour. Now, if you decide to get married, then you decide to get married. And it is till death do you part, except person is unfaithful according to what God says. But you've got to make your decision every day. My wife and I have been, I tell you how long we've been married if I think of it, but it's over 50 years. We may not be married next week. She decides to leave me, I decide to leave her. We've got to still decide. She can go and I can go. I'm not about to go, but she can go and I can go. But you've got to decide. Somebody said, I decided to take a job. Well, you didn't just make that decision. What are you going to do about tomorrow? You're going to get up and go to work. And if you just quit the next day, you done messed up. There are decisions you just make, and you just, that's the way it is with deciding to believe in God. The Bible talks about these people of faith. No matter what happens or what goes, I'm going to believe God. And so here it was. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And the Bible says, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up, our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You know, they had more faith than modern day Christians do. God freed us. If you're freed from sin, God freed you from sin. And He did those great signs in our sight. They believed in those plagues. They lived through them. They believed the Red Sea parted. They saw it. They believed God came down on Sinai and gave the law. They experienced it. And I could go on and on. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, He hath done you good. That's the principle of God. You've got to keep on serving God. You can't, well, it's just like this. You've been following the law, I guess, all your life. And you've been a law-abiding citizen. When are you going to quit? Now, don't quit going home. I saw two lawmen down there on the side of the road with the lights flashing just a few minutes ago. Caused me to automatically slow down. That's just automatic. I don't think I was speeding. But you've got to decide. Have you kept the law, thou shalt not steal? Start tonight, see how long it takes. Now, they'll catch you because you stand out where you live. You go down to Nashville and get to certain places, you can steal all night, and it's commonplace. I say that kindly, but that's the way it is. I was driving through that section not too many years ago. A truck broke down. I pulled over, got out of the way best I could, and flagged the law down. And they come by, and they said, well, you got trouble? Yeah. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do about the car. He said, you better not leave it here, and you better not stay in this place. It's not safe after dark. Rolled his window up and took off. That's a true story. He knew he didn't need to be there because they don't fear anything. And they don't worry about it. I don't mean all of them. 10% is enough to do them. And then he says, the Bible said, you cannot serve God. He will turn on you if you turn on Him. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses. The people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve. We're going to keep on serving the Lord. Have you made that decision? That's the number one thing that God wanted us to understand. That you make a choice and you live with the consequences. Is that not true? Is that not true? Do you ever look around now? You know now, and I say this kindly because I haven't had this problem. But you know now that you look around at people that smoking is killing a lot of people. There's no doubt about that now. That's just the truth. And you don't know, I know that people know that they need to stop. But the consequences of that. I know that drinking is killing a lot of people. I know that drugs, you may not know it, you young people think you can live with. I can tell you three people I know that drugs have destroyed their lives. Friend of mine. Eat up the brain. They got the weebie-jeebies or whatever it is. If you're thinking about getting into that stuff, let me take you to meet one of them. Because she's in the family. And I know what a mind she had before it all happened. Brethren, the Bible is true. It's true. God doesn't want us to do these things because He's trying to make it hard on us. It's the only way to live. And so here it is. The Bible says that was a choice. And then we go to Noah. And we say, what do we need to learn from Noah? Number one, we need to learn from Noah that Noah had the key to being successful. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Three times it's told you there. God said, Noah did everything I told him to do. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't done what God told you to do. And God tells you, if you don't do what He tells you to do, you're going to be cursed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's Jesus talking. You don't think Jesus said that. That's Jesus talking. Whosoever, the Bible says, that puts away his words, that the same will judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 38. But then the Bible tells us about Noah, and he worked 100 years while the ark was prepared. You fellows think you got it hard trying to attend faithfully, trying to study the Bible, trying to give on first day of the week as you prosper, trying to sing, trying to be a good person, care on the work. And I don't think you think God's hard, but how would you like the job of building the ark? I can just see us now, you men, pitching that ark. Now, when they pitched the ark, the Bible says they pitched it within and without with pitch. 600 feet long. I can see Rick now with pitch all over him, trying to get his share going down through there. And 100 years. And the only people I know that worked for was family. Did you ever try to work 10 years with your family? You know, when you spend 10 years working with your family, you almost got to take a vacation, go work somewhere else. You've been unusual. And I'm not saying some families have worked for years, I guess, but it just happens that way. 100 years they worked. And then, of course, I never have understood how they got all those animals on that ark. Thus did Noah, according to all that God told. I think, sure, God helped him. And it might have been even in miraculous ways. But he didn't build the ark miraculously. And how they got him on that ark. And then, of course, he spent 1 year on that ark. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives on one boat. I suppose they had one kitchen. I don't know how the bath facilities were, but I have my problems understanding it. Thus did Noah. Would you swap places with Noah? Brethren, we live in a blessed age. Somebody said, I don't want to be baptized. What takes you about 15 minutes? That's not the hard part at all. I baptized my brother when he was 28 because he was scared to death of water. And I said to Charles, how in the world can you be scared to death of water? He fishes all the time. If you called him tomorrow, he's retired now. And if the sun was up and he wasn't sick, he would probably be fishing. I don't understand people, how they think God has made it hard on them. He's told fathers to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You better bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you don't want to visit them in the pen. If you don't want them to be robbing the banks and killing each other people, how's the law going to stop them? You think the law is going to stop them? I wish I could give you the figures because I got the time now. I know some of them. What we're spending to try to prevent crime. We don't know how to stop people from doing anything other than the way God told us to. They write all kind of books. And if you want to learn how to lose weight, just turn on anything, pick up anything, and look anywhere. We know more about losing weight than anybody on earth. And 10,000 times as much as we know about heaven and hell and the gospel. I go to the doctor's office sometimes, there's all those. I said, I don't want to look at all that junk. If it worked, they wouldn't have 10,000 ways to do it. If you want to be a millionaire, just tell every woman in here how they can lose 20 pounds without any effort in 3 weeks. And make it work. You name your price. We cannot control human behavior. I was a guidance counselor for 4 years. I studied the figures. I know we cannot control human behavior. And our whole society. But the Bible says that he can. And the people that are the most obedient and the most productive and the happiest and the most secure are God's family on this earth. Don't you ever forget that. If I could live with Christians on this earth and entirely, I think I would do it in a minute. Because I don't like to live where you have to have bars all over your doors and windows. And some places you have to do that. And that's not saying anything. It doesn't matter about the color of skin. That color of skin got nothing to do with it. There are mean people that comes in all shades and forms. But they're ungodly people. And they're growing and growing and growing in number. We can't even find the president that's faithful to his wife or doesn't drink or curse or everything else. Can't even find the president. He can't take care of his own life and his own family. And he's going to run this country. And I still love this country. And I know we're going to have some fallible human beings to run us. But it's a bad situation. Anyway, what do we learn? We learn from Noah. We learn from Noah that Noah saved his family. And that's all he saved. You know we're back to Noah? I would be happy. I'm going to try to save everybody I can. But I would be happy if I could save my family. I would be satisfied if I could save my family. I'm not going to stop there. Noah preached 100 years while the ark was repairing. He didn't convert a single soul. 100 years. We all learn from Noah that God wants us to keep delivering the word. The Bible says Noah preached while the ark was repairing. Wherein few of his 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure doth baptism also now save us. He wanted us Christians, think about the fact, that's like trying to get people to be baptized in our time, trying to get people to get on that ark. Nobody wanted on the ark. And the Bible says they shut the door. Don't you know that there was a lot going on? They were beating on the door. They were beating on that door. I hadn't even got started. Time's gone. I've run to I think this lesson needs to be preached, but I wish I had time to preach. Let me tell you just some things that God tells you. You know what? Why does God tell us about Abraham? Well, God tells us about Abraham because He wants us to know that God can produce His promises without a lot of human effort and human effort. Because it can be so. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham didn't even have a child. Finally had one. Man alive, today if that man was trying to produce a great nation, that man could have 10,000, I guess, in 2 or 3 months, a year, by some way or another. Because God said just had one. And then God told him, take him up on Mount Moriah and kill him. Genesis 22. The Lord did tempt Abraham and said, take thy son, thy only son, up to Mount Moriah and offer him for sacrifice upon that mountain. And the Bible says that 3 days' journey they took off. I've often wondered what he told Mrs. Abraham. I don't think he told her what was going on. And the Bible says they went up. And the Bible says that the son was 17 years old. We've got some 17-year-olds. In here, just about 17 years old. And here is his father. And his father is about 100. You ought to be able to handle him if you wanted to. And the Bible says that they start up that mountain. And Isaac said, here is the wood. And here is the thing to have the fire. But where is the lamb? And he didn't know at that time, but Abraham said, God will provide. And there was the lamb caught in the bushes. And they took him up. But he had raised his hand to kill his son. And God stayed his hand. He was going to take them. And the New Testament says that Abraham believed that if he killed his son, God could restore him to life just like he gave him to him in the first place. Now, brethren, that's faith. That's faith. And that's what it takes to please God. To believe what the Word... It don't mean believe things that's not biblically true. And totally unreasonable if it stepped through the biblical truth. But believe every word of God. Every word of God. And when you get to that point and place, you come here believing that, you ought to than anything else in all this world. Then we go to Leviticus 10. Why did God tell us about Leviticus 10 right quickly? Here was people going to worship. Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. They dress for worship. They start that worship outright. They put their good new clothes on. And the Bible says they offered fire upon the altar. Now these things were written for our learning. Somebody said fire is fire. It's all hot. Well, no, it's not all the same fire. Not when God makes it different. And the Bible says they offered strange fire. Strange there meant fire that God had not commanded. God had told them to take that fire that's burning there and use it, I'm sure. But it was strange fire. And the Bible says the fire went out from the Lord and consumed them, and they were burnt up. God says you worship in the wrong way, You are going to suffer the consequences. Are you listening to me, all you denominational people that I love? If you worship in the wrong way, you're going to suffer the consequences. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And the Bible says that God turned to the Father and said to his father, Levi, said, don't tire your head, don't mourn, go on with worship. And the Bible says that's what he did. He went on with worship. His sons had been burned up by God. And the Bible says that he burnt part of the offering that day. And Moses came to him complaining, said, you burnt some of the offering. And then Aaron said, such things has happened to me this day that I have done well as I could have done. And I think God believed that. Such things has happened to me. He had two sons to die. Why did he tell us all that? Worship is serious business. You can't lay out, get there late, leave early, talk, cut up, and please God in worship. When are we going to learn that? I don't know. I learned it a long time ago. It can't be done. Worship is serious business. The Bible says when they took the Lord's Supper wrong in the New Testament today, the some among them were weak and sickly, and some slept. That meant some of them were sick, and some of them had died. I wonder if that's not still going on today. We wouldn't know exactly, would we? But anyway, worship is serious business. And the Bible says when Book of Malachi, when they brought the offering to God and they offered the lame and less than their best, that the prophet said, take them to the governor and see if he would accept it. And the Bible says that the prophet said, you have robbed God. You ever think about there are people that rob God? Do they pull a gun on God? No, they just don't give to God like they're supposed to. And they said, where have we robbed you? And they told those Jews in tithes and in offerings. You wonder how many people in the Lord's church would God arrest today if he arrest every member of the Lord's church that was robbing him of what they should be giving. I don't know, but I have a feeling that there'd be a whole lot locked up in God's jail. Worship is serious business. That's the reason we can't have instrumental music. God didn't command it. If you'll show me a command for instrumental music and worship in the New Testament, I'll give you $1,000. Do you know your history? The Catholic Church did not begin instrumental music for 1,000 years after it was established. The denominational churches, most of them began with just singing. The greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived in London would not allow musical instruments to be heard where he preached. And I could go on and on. Modern day denominations don't know their own history. And they think we're crazy for opposing instrumental music. No, my friend, you're wrong in adding it to worship. And if that's true, we ought to also say, if you don't sing the best you can, you're wrong. Now that don't mean you got to sing like everything in the world, because some of us don't sing well. And you just do the best you can do and sing and make bell in your heart and teach you to admonish one another and praise God with you. Son, we ought to be serious about worship if we're serious about anything. And I think that and that doesn't mean that we won't. I hope you bring the children. We need children in worship. They're going, I would hate to be at a place where children didn't disturb worship some. I've been to one of them just recently. Whole congregation, and not a single young person and not a single child did I see. I felt like I was in a morgue. I guess I was overreacting. But anyway, Jesus said, "Bring little children unto me and forbid them not. Of such is the kingdom of heaven." That tells every mom and dad in here, bring your children to worship. Do the best you can with them. And after you get your children behaved, work on mine. Because they could stand some improvement. And we need to work on each one of us to do the very best we can. God would bless us mightily if we could come together and do our very best to worship him in spirit and in truth every time we assemble. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God would bless us mightily. Because the Bible says that God blessed Noah. And the Bible says that God blessed Abraham. And the Bible says that God blessed Joshua. And the Bible says that God blessed Moses. And I could go on and on. Every person that's ever obeyed God and followed him God is blessed. And if you will obey God, God will bless you. He'll bless you, first of all, for giving you all your sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God will do that through the blood of His Son. If you will believe in Jesus, if you will confess that gracious name and be baptized, repent and be baptized for your remission of sin, God will bless you. He'll add you to His kingdom church. If you live a faithful life, He'll take you home to glory. That don't mean sinless. Who among us doesn't sin? We all struggle. Every day we struggle. What we need to do and what you need to do is pray the same prayer I pray every night before I close my eyes. Lord, forgive me of every sin that I have. The ones I don't know about, forgive me of. I want to be right when I close my eyes tonight. Because I don't know myself that well. Maybe you know yourself that well. But if you don't see some faults in yourself, you don't know yourself very well. Because the Bible says, if any man say he hath no sin, he is a liar. That's right from God. And the truth is not in him. So we need to know that. We're all fallible people. But God expects us to do the best we can, and that's all He expects. If I cannot walk, God don't expect me to. God doesn't expect me to fly across the room. I cannot do it. But I need to do the best I can. We need to give God our best. The best of our time. The best of our treasure. The best of our talents. The best of our influence. It starts with obeying the gospel one day at a time. You can't present a whole life to God. You can only give Him yourself now and the rest of this day. And tomorrow is another challenge. If you need to obey the gospel, think about it. If you need to come back home tonight as a Christian, confess your sins. God will forgive you if you'll repent and pray for them. And then start, make it today. Pray that prayer tonight. You'll be right. And then tomorrow, start another day and live the best you can. And ask God to forgive you when you fall. God knows how weak we are. We're the ones that think we're a lot stronger than what we are. Would you obey Him while together we stand and while we sing?